Board of Supervisors meeting. I'd like to let you know that the board did meet in executive session at 6 o'clock tonight to discuss land, legal, and personnel issues. And I'd like to remind everyone, although it is posted within the meeting room, that this meeting is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all the public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. Please now stand and join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Member Mark Moyer?
Here.
Member Justin Engel?
Here.
Member Matt Weir?
Here.
Member Rick Zamuda?
Here.
And Chairwoman Susan Court?
Here. We are going to begin this evening with our first session of visitor and public comment. All the public sessions of the Township of Derry Board of Supervisors, again, are recorded for the purpose of creating accurate minutes. And again, we want to remind all of our speakers to please limit their comments to 3 minutes or less. If you approach the podium, please just give us your name and your address so that we can have that on record as well. Anyone? Going once? Twice?
Hurry up.
My name is Bob Welch. I live on Hilltop Road. Excuse me. And this has to do with the amusement tax. I'm not really representing any group per se, but over the years, as you know, there's been a lot of discussion about it and kicked around in terms of whether it's equitable, so on and so forth. And I'd kind of like to recommend or suggest for your consideration that you engage a CPA firm to review the practices and operation of how the amusement tax is handled. I think it's a big deal. There's a lot of money involved, and I think one of the main things that should be addressed is that it be done consistently. And that's kind of it. I have no action going. I don't have a specific CPA firm to recommend it, but I think it's a big deal, and to just ignore it would just be an abrogation of responsibility. Thank you.
Lynn Dyer, 2321 Brownlee Road. Through CARS, as a member of CARS, I am become familiar with your version 2.0 of the community center is now under consideration. And I have several questions. Have you set a revised budget for the construction costs for that? Are you still planning on having a $5 million capital campaign? You've already borrowed $2 million almost for the failed version 1.0 of the community center. And are you going to be reducing the costs and by how much? Those are my questions for that. My second thing is you canceled the phase two review of the debunked Mallard King business plan, but are you going to be proceeding with a business plan with the new version 2.0 community center? So, again, I'm interested in how that is going. I know you're doing the construction costs and cutting square footage and so forth, but the business plan is another key element to this. You know, the township taxpayers were on the hook for $500,000 losses every year going forward with that. I'm curious as to what approach you're taking to mitigate that.
Those are all the questions?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't want to interrupt until you were through.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when it comes time for Mr. Mandia to speak, he can give us an update, but just in case you are not here or members of the public leave before we get to that point of the agenda, As you can imagine, everything that we're doing with the community center is not yet ready to be shared with the community. We are just working, and anything that we would share tonight would be complete speculation, other than saying that we are working very diligently as a team, both the board and the staff, to come up with another solution. You asked a question about the capital campaign, and while we are not actively soliciting new donations at this time, we are certainly welcoming them and accepting them because there will be a community center. So we are moving forward with that $5 million capital campaign. I think you also mentioned a 2.0 version or phase two of Ballard King, but that's not as SFA, and we are continuing to work with them so that when we bring the new version of the community center forward, that would be in concert with any kind of a business plan and understanding that. So I think I hit most of them.
Yeah, you haven't mentioned what goals or budgets you have.
Oh, yeah, because that's all still being worked out. So okay. our plan, as we have been doing since April 9th, is to continue to update the public at our Board of Supervisors meetings. And at the point where we're ready to share something a little bit more in detail, certainly the public will be being informed of that.
Okay.
Thank you, Linda.
Rich Campbell, 39 Hopkinsville Road. I want to thank Rick for coming to our Carver's meeting last week. He was very informative, and you've mentioned a few things that I would like to basically present to the board and to consider, and I guess, John, you would be the answer person for this. But according to Rick, there was no minutes taken at this meeting, and I know you say you're just putting things together and you're kind of, you know, talking about it. But I think one of the mistakes was made last time was the community wasn't informed of how you're progressing to get input on getting the correct direction. Now, it sounds like you have the same group that initially started this working on the same project again. And I think it'd be appropriate that we be updated, and not when you're ready to tell us, but let us know now what you're thinking so maybe the community can give you some thoughts also. And particularly with the minutes under the Sunshine Act, according to the statute in Pennsylvania, and I got two other contacts that I questioned that, anytime a supervisor is representing the community and doing business, which you were, technically you're meeting doing business, you need to do minutes. Now that's under the Sunshine Act. You had a township supervisor there, the people you contracted with, this is all business, and I think minutes should be taken and shared with the community. I think that's very, very important. And the last thing, Rick shared with us also that there was another group got together but eliminated Wayne and the other community member for the discussion of the group. So if it's a group, I would recommend that anytime there's a meeting with a group, okay, that all members be present and an alternate be selected if that person can't make it. I'm referring basically to Wayne, and I forget his other name, starts with an S. But I think that's how miscommunication happens, and that's lacking transparency. So if you could research the Sunshine Act, I think that'd be very helpful. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
So again, I think we would probably be best just to address this now in case people are not here later, and John, I'll certainly defer to you if I misspeak or don't, or if I leave something out. But the board is able to meet, and we are all able to meet at the same time as long as we are having discussion and not making any decisions. So I don't believe that there's any issue there, nor do we need to take minutes.
But the outcome of your meeting is going to make a decision.
But no decision was made. John, would you...
I think as far as I'm concerned, everything's been proceeding accordingly. You know, and I see them getting together to start discussing about, well, let's do this, and they vote on that. If they would vote on that, I would tell them they can't do that. But when it's just a discussion leading to a decision, they're allowed to do that.
If I just may interject, they already made a decision to keep the representatives that were on the last project on board. So that's a decision that was made. I didn't see it go out for bid. I didn't see anybody else being contacted to participate.
I don't believe we need to do that, Mr. Campbell. And you mentioned about members of the group coming and going. I mean, throughout this entire process since 2014, there have been a number of people in the public that have come in and come out of discussion.
I'm asking you to open it up for discussion. when you have the meeting, invite the public. That way there's no problem with transparency.
But these are not public meetings, and you have to allow us the ability to do our jobs the way that we need to do our jobs, and we're keeping you updated as much as we can. So I hope you can appreciate that there's a process going on here and that we're following the letter of the law
okay.
and doing that process.
As John said, no decision was made, but you already made a decision to keep the initial people that initiated the first project, and you brought them back on now for the second project, because that first project was voted out. It was denied, the bids were not accepted. So that means that's a start over. So I think in starting over, I get new consultants, and if you are, then I think they should be voted on. And if that's a decision you made to have them come to your meeting, that's business. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gant. Is there anyone else who has any comments this evening? We will have another session at the end of the meeting. All right, thank you all for your comments. Let's move on to the first item on our agenda tonight. Actually, I don't see on the agenda the approval of the minutes from last. There were no? No?
No.
Okay. That's not on the agenda?
No.
Okay.
It'll be on the next
thing. I'm just making sure because sometimes I don't have the up-to-date script here. So, all right, back to item A. Discussion and consideration ordinance number 716, General Obligation Bond Series A of 2019. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you're aware, the board is aware at the April 23rd meeting, you did grant approval to the administration to get the finance team together, which includes Lou Verdelli from RBC, Scott Shearer from PFM, and Donna Kreiser from Denise Wallace in New York, to begin the process of preparing all the necessary documents to go out for borrowing to complete various township capital projects that were identified in our 2019 budget. This discussion is kind of two parts. It's twofold for items A and B, but we'll take them separately, but they do kind of relate to one another. First for consideration this evening is, of course, our general obligation bonds, and I'm going to turn it over now to our finance team to discuss some of the particulars of this particular borrowing, its amounts, and they can spell out some things that are already in your packet this evening, but certainly if you have questions, feel free to try to answer as best you can.
All right, good evening. So we're going to tag team this a little bit and alternate back and forth, but does everyone have, this should be in your packet. I have a few extras in case. So again, as Mr. Christmas said, I'm Scott Shear with PFM, and again, Lou Verdelli and Donna Kreiser will be also speaking about certain parts of this ordinance as well in the presentation. So kind of real briefly, why don't we go into page one of the handout, just to give you a little background on what we are looking to actually borrow the funds for. So we have a table laid out in 1A, and again, if anyone needs an extra copy, I do have a few hard copies if need be. So we're basically looking at about a half a dozen or so different purposes of this financing that we've been planning with the township now for quite some time and the rest of the finance team, and looking at some pro forma debt service schedules here now again for quite some time. So the various items listed there in 1A, we have the series of 2018 refunding. So that was a short-term loan, kind of interim loan, that was done back in 2018 to fund some of these preliminary projects, about $1.5 million for that. We have the Bullfrog Valley Road project for about $1.3 million. We have the landfill project for $1 million. The reimbursement back to the general fund for certain expenditures, about $600,000 for that. Other budgeted capital projects that were in your approved 2019 budget, and then some park design work for about $100,000, totaling to just over $5 million. So that, you're going to see how that those different projects relate to the actual size of the borrowing that we're doing. We'll get a little bit more into that when we get to the schedules, but overall, we're looking to fund the township needs to the tune of about $5 million here. The ordinance that your bond council will briefly explain to you is a maximum parameter ordinance that the township has seen many times before and has worked very well for the township when it comes time to actually pricing the bonds. And Mr. Redelli will go through that a little bit here towards the end of this presentation. The timeline, why don't we skip the timeline for a moment, and again, Luke can speak a little bit more to that after we get through a couple of these schedules. We'll come back to the bottom of page one. As far as page two, everyone always wants to know when you're looking to borrow money, how are interest rates behaving. The good news is that if you look at the bottom portion of page two, basically since the holidays, since the early part of this year, late 2018, we've seen a nice downward trend in long-term interest rates, which is really what we care about for this kind of financing. So again, if you look at the bottom of page 2, kind of over on the right-hand side, that trend, this is a 10-year municipal index. So it's just a proxy. It's not exactly where your bonds are going to price, but it just gives you a general indication of the direction that interest rates have been going. So again, we look very good compared to, you know, past year or so. It's overall a good time to be considering locking in traditional fixed rate for the various projects. Why don't we just go to page 5. So on page 5, again, Lou will speak a little bit more to the timing of the transaction. But if we were to do this transaction pretty much say today, this is more or less current market rates that you're seeing on page 5 over in column 4. Again, we have a little bit of time until we actually lock this in. But you see down, if you go down to column 2, we're borrowing roughly about $5,280,000 with those yields over in column 4. They average out to, you know, about a 3, somewhere in the low 3% range. So that would be, again, a traditional fixed rate financing, locking that interest rate in for the full duration. We will be having the bond sold with a 5-year call feature, which is very similar to what the township has done in the past. Gives you the most flexibility to be able to refinance or restructure the bonds in the future. If you look in column 6, we are structuring this so there's very little financial impact for the first year, year and a half or so of this, and then the debt service starts to phase in more so in 2021 and thereafter. If you look in column 9, that is the township's existing annual debt service right now before this transaction is contemplated, and then after this transaction would be contemplated if you approve moving forward with the ordinance this evening. Column 10, that would be what the new annual debt service would look like. And again, this all fits within kind of the budgeting parameters that we've been helping the township with now for quite some time. All looks very similar. It will fold into the overall master borrowing plan of the township regarding the community center when that may come to fruition as well. So this is just kind of one little slice of that. So again, this is what the debt service would look like if you basically do the transaction here now. On page 6, just a brief summary of the various sources and uses. We want to make sure that obviously we're hitting all the funding needs of the township. So we need to, again, make sure that the total sources match the total uses of what we're looking to fund. Again, we explained that on the first page. So we're going to start with about $5,280,000 bonds. There's going to be a little bit of original issue premium. So we're starting with about $5.5 million of total proceeds. And then under uses, we have about $3.5 million being used for the different construction fund projects. We're going to pay off, as I mentioned, the 2018 loan, some capitalized interest, and then some other fees. And so the uses, again, match the sources. And then lastly, which is included in the ordinance that Donna can speak to briefly on page 8. So page 8 is what the schedule looks like that is in the ordinance. It's for $6.5 million at a 5.5% interest rate. We know that's not going to be the case, but you've heard this explained over the years of the reason for the parameters ordinance. Donna can speak to it a little bit more as well. But like I said, we expect the actual transaction to be closer to that $5.5 million mark that we've just gone over on a prior page. But again, so that when Luke gets more into the timing of this, need to make sure that we want to enter the market at the most opportune time, not necessarily so that it correlates with a township public meeting. We get the approvals this evening, and then we can time the market as best as we can in the short window that we're looking at. So then after the transaction would actually be priced, then your bond council will file some additional paperwork with the state, basically saying that you have the parameters ordinance approved for $6.5 million. We actually only borrowed $5.2 million, $5.3 million, whatever the number turns out to be. So basically eliminate that difference from the township debt statement, and again, a very customary procedure that your bond council will be doing. And then the rest is just kind of some backup schedules. I don't know if we want to go back to page 1, Lou, if you want to review a little bit of some of the highlights in that timeline regarding the credit rating and timing of the bonds.
Okay. Thanks, Scott.
Scott, Lou, before you start, just for the benefit of the public, since none of this is on the screen, whenever it's possible to provide some narrative to what you're talking about that helps people understand it, that would be terrific.
Okay, sure. One of the things that we wanted to keep moving
when on this project was obviously, as Scott mentioned, interest rates. So we've really been moving on an accelerated schedule to get into the market as quickly as we can due to the big drop that we've seen in rates. So we did reach out to Standard & Poor's a few weeks ago right after you authorized the team. We were actually able to just do a question and answer with them that they sent to us. We didn't have to have a formal rating call like we did a month and a half ago in connection with the Derry Township Municipal Authority issue. So both Chris and Cheryl were great, got quick responses back to S&P. And just this afternoon, S&P did reiterate the township's AA credit rating, kept the statewide outlook that we had. So we have that rating in hand now. The expectation is we'll be posting the offering statements to the market tomorrow, and we're targeting pricing for the week of May the 20th. On Scott's schedule here, you can see actually May 23rd is the date that we're looking at right now, but of course we'll continue to monitor what else is happening in the market. We are seeing a lot of issuers come to market to take advantage of how low interest rates are right now. So the current plan is if we price May 23rd, we would then be closing this issue on June the 20th. So that's when the funds would be available. I know that's critical for some of the things like the road projects that need to get going here with the summer construction season.
All right, thanks, Lou. So that's kind of it with the numbers. Now I'll turn it over to Donna basically to quickly review the ordinance that more or less puts everything that Lou and I just talked about, puts that in legalese, and that's really the kind of the binding motion for the team to move forward with the borrowing.
Hi, good evening, everyone. The ordinance that you have in front of you is properly advertised for purposes of the Local Government Unit Debt Act and is otherwise drafted to be in conformance with that act and is in a format consistent with other ordinances the township has considered when undertaking the issuance of debt. This ordinance does authorize the undertaking by the township of the project Scott described for you. It is a maximum parameters resolution. You're authorizing us to proceed in a maximum principal amount of $6.5 million. We don't anticipate the borrowing to be at that level. But as set forth in Section 10 of the ordinance, we do set forth parameters within which you are authorizing the finance team to proceed. Ultimately, when the bonds are priced, bond purchase agreement will be presented to the township manager who will authorize the undertaking of the financing within the parameters that you authorize this evening in the ordinance. It otherwise authorizes the township to proceed with all other requirements to bring the financing to a close, including the execution and delivery of all closing documents, and authorizes us to proceed with the filing of the necessary documentation with the DCED as it relates to the Debt Act. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thanks, Tom. Is there any more
that I need to present for the committee? I would just add that this is the same structure that we use for the DTMA borrowing that you approved recently, the parameter structure.
Does anyone have any questions for anybody on the team? Hearing none, do I have a motion to adopt the duly advertised ordinance number 716, authorizing the incurrence of non-electoral debt in the maximum amount of $6.5 million in connection with the issuance of one or more of a series of general obligation bonds for various township projects as noted by the finance team?
So
moved. Moved by Mr. Zamuda.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you all very much. Next item on the agenda is discussion and consideration of Resolution 1582, authorizing and approving an extension of the Township's existing qualified interest rate management agreement and a reduction of the notional amount thereof from $25 million to $20
million. Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, this is the second part of this conversation this evening. This portion of the finance team, of course, is still made up of Lou Burdell from RBC, Scott Shearer from PFM, and Mr. Burdell from Eckerd Siemens. The purpose of this resolution before you tonight is exactly what you had just said. It is to reduce the notional amount from $25 million of the hedge that we have currently outstanding to $20 million. I'll turn it over to our team to discuss some of the particulars of it. But in going through the borrowing that we just approved in item A, it makes sense for us to reduce that hedge to move forward.
Yep, and this is very straightforward. Since we're obviously issuing $5 million of debt, we had the hedge in place basically protecting interest rates on $25 million. So since we're issuing five now, we can reduce that five. We don't need that any longer, so that speaks to the reduction from 25 to 20. And because we are not issuing any other additional debt right now, we are recommending the extension of the hedge through December 31st. Right now, it expires on June the 1st of this year. So in consultation with the team and in discussion with your administration, it's the recommendation just to push that expiration date out until December 31 of 2019. So the resolution that you have in front of you basically just authorizes those two things to occur, and we are scheduled that we would take those actions once we actually price this $5 million bond issue that you just approved. We want those to basically happen at the same time to reduce any type of market exposure.
Anyone have any questions for Lou? Hearing none, Dave Chippen.
I would just indicate, David Waddell from Eckerd Siemens, Senate serving as your swap counsel. This resolution, also properly advertised in accordance with the Local Government Unit Debt Act, follows the exact format of the resolution that you approved to put the hedge in place previously. As Lou mentioned, because it is actually a new interest rate management plan, because the old hedge is set to expire in June 1, but otherwise it essentially reapproves all of the same elements of the hedge that you approved before and just extends it at the reduced amount.
Thank you.
I have a quick question. Lou, what interest rate are we looking at? Are we lowering the interest rate at this time?
So there's no change to the rate, basically just the extension of it.
Okay.
Due to the extension, there's accrued interest for those couple of months, so that's going to change the interest rate by a few basis points higher, but there's no other change to the contract other than that. The interest rate on the bonds that we'll be issuing, that's what Scott made a reference to. That's where we probably expect that interest rate to be right around 3%, and that'll be locked in for the 20-year life of the issue.
Okay, now I'm learning this stuff, and I'm just learning enough to be dangerous with this stuff.
Yeah.
I understand with the tariffs in place right now, they're looking at maybe a 50-point base cut.
In terms of what the Federal Reserve is doing with short-term interest rates?
Yeah.
There's been speculation about that. Right now, the futures market actually has priced in a 25-basis-point cut in rates by the end of 2019. Again, that's short-term interest rates, the overnight lending rates that banks are lending to each other. So not a direct correlation to the fixed rates that you would borrow at when we issue bonds for 20 years. But obviously, whatever the Fed's up to does have some bearing on long-term interest rates. All of that discussion and the trade wars that have been going on the last week or so have created a flight to quality. And so we've seen interest rates drop even further here in the last week and a half. That's all to your advantage as we're preparing to lock in an interest rate on this $5 million borrowing. So far, those types of discussions have pushed long-term interest rates lower.
Okay.
And that's really clear when you look at Scott's interest rate chart there on that second page. We have seen interest rates come straight down since Thanksgiving, basically.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Anyone else have any questions for anyone on the team? Hearing none, I'll make the motion that the Board of Supervisors adopt Resolution Number 1582, authorizing and approving an extension of the Township's existing qualified interest rate management agreement and a reduction of the notional amount thereof from $25 million to $20 million, as noted by the Finance Team. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Next item on the agenda, discussion and consideration of planning consulting services with Urban Design Associates. Mr. Christman.
Madam Chair. In an effort to evaluate the township zoning ordinance and some of the architectural guidelines as they relate to the downtown Hershey area, the administration has sought a proposal from Urban Design Associates, which is enclosed in this packet this evening for your consideration. This was a proposal that I think, you know, Supervisor Engel had been connected to from the beginning. He's probably in a better position to explain UDA's expertise in the area. But ultimately, you know, they could come in and provide some guidance in terms of overall zoning changes and architectural guidelines for the downtown area.
Justin, do you want to step us through the proposal, or is there any discussion that anybody wants to?
I guess I would just invite any discussion. I think that I think it was back in February where the board decided to, back a year to where we decided that there were some things in our ordinance in the downtown overlay district that we felt we were more exposed than we realized. And so in February this year, the board decided to invite a discussion with UDA. And so those discussions ensued over the past couple months. And so that's where we find ourselves today.
I think we found some shortfalls in our zoning, obviously, with some hotel projects that I don't think any of us were able to predict would happen. And we've come to a point now where how we're going to fix them, and one way to fix them is to get a planner and a town planner. And we found one, someone worked for West Hershey and did an excellent job, we saw firsthand. And, you know, we're looking at planning for the downtown that's going to last, 20 years? And it's important, I think. Planning is always important. We can save a few bucks now, pay later with court fees and the downtown that we don't like and opportunities that we missed. But I think we're going to make a good decision here. UDA is a very reputable firm, and I think they're going to assure we have a downtown that develops the way we want. Thank you.
I'd like to pair up what both Justin and Matt said. We need to plan for the future a little better than we had now that the previous plans were done prior to me coming on the board, so there was very little input I had at that time. But seeing UDA's work and seeing how they function with the Hershey entities and already knowing what the flavor of the town is, I think we can rest assured that if we go through with this, we're going to get a very, very good product. And as Matt said, they are a very good firm. I did a little bit of research on them. Not just the internet, made a couple of phone calls. They're very good at what they do. They're very competent. And I have a high degree of confidence that we'll get our money's worth.
So I think we're all in agreement that our zoning needs to be continuously reviewed and updated. And when our zoning was updated, that was never meant to be forever. It was always meant to be something that was reviewed, and certainly I think we would all agree, too, that the downtown in particular needs to be revisited. How that happens, I think, is something that we haven't really fully explored. I'm very much in favor of exploring revising our zoning, in particular downtown, to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our community today and for the foreseeable future until we need to revise it yet again. And I think good planning is really critical to that, and we did used to have a town planner who assisted us, and that he's no longer with us. So I do feel like we do need potentially some assistance to add to the expertise that we have with Chuck and his team. However, I'm not sure that now is the time to spend the money on that. I know that it is critical to move forward with discussions, but I would first like our board to sit down with staff and kind of identify, you know, what the issues are, what we might be able to address in-house, and really look then to put out more of an RFP of a request for proposal to see what we might get back from various vendors. I have no doubt that MPA would do a phenomenal job. They're certainly doing an incredible job with Hershey West End. I'm just not personally comfortable with investing the resources in it at this time, given where we are in the budget this year and with so many unknowns moving forward. So that's kind of how I'm feeling right now. I believe we do need to do something, and I think UDA could provide some help, and I'm a little nervous about spending that money right now.
Jeff, can you tell us, you've been going it alone lately.
I'm going through resumes again. It's going to get better.
So one of the, so you haven't had Brandon, you won't have an assistant for a good portion of this year.
Don't say that.
So there's budget implications there, right? So there will be some savings. And isn't it also likely that it's more difficult for you to invest the time in something like this when you are the only person doing it?
Yes, Band-Aids would take a long time to do right now.
Yeah.
So we have a new assistant in and trained.
Right. And I would just add that there's certainly a reasonable person could say that it makes sense to go to an RFP and invite other firms, but I think that we saw it firsthand when we first started our comp plan that just because you go out to an RFP and you collect proposals and they look qualified, that you get fancy packets from their marketing departments, but ultimately what it comes down to is past history and what you know of the firm, the personalities, who you've worked with, and I think that's why the board decided in February that it made sense to just go to one firm and discuss an engagement. So I think it was a good process. Just to be clear, staff has been involved with this process of talking to UDA and receiving an initial scope that was much higher and much more costly than what we're looking at tonight, and has gone through that process over the past couple months to reduce the scope and sort of get the scope down to what was felt was exactly right.
Chuck, not to put you on the spot.
Well,
go ahead. No, you go first.
So, do we want to talk about DHA's involvement in this as well? Because DHA is looking at supporting this effort.
I was just going to ask that same question, if it's proper to discuss that.
Yeah, and forgive me for not discussing that, but DHA has approved contributing $32,000 towards this
right.
effort.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, that's timely. I think that's part of what the DHA is focused on, is the downtown. I think that's a generous offer towards the funding of this project. I think Justin's right. My budget's going to look really good because I'm not paying an assistant right now. So I don't know that we've taken a look at all the numbers to see how it will affect the overall general fund and so on, but I think we have a lot of things in motion that would make this far more palatable than what it started at. I think we're down to a number that's manageable. It feels that way.
So you raised something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and of course, many of these things, there's a lot of momentum going downtown right now. A lot of development, a lot of properties being looked at. We do want to be ahead of decisions that are made that we can't change because of the way the ordinance is written today. We end up with some unintended consequences from the 2017 ordinance, some of them that need fixed, and I do believe the time is of the essence to get them fixed.
You've raised an interesting point, because my biggest concern, one of my concerns, probably the biggest one, was the cost of all this. But in not paying the salary, there is savings there. So is this, in your mind, putting you on the spot, the best way to get to that end goal of revising the zoning in a timely fashion versus waiting for staff? Or
It is absolutely the best way. When we started the comprehensive plan with staff, that was in 2011. And that plan wasn't adopted until 2016. Team when we brought in consultants. We can get through it, but it's difficult. It's not what we're fully tasked with every day. I mean, we have permits and plans and other things. As I think the board's well aware, we've maintained a very conservative staff level
for many, many years here. We don't have people with extra time to insert these types of projects. It really has to be done by consultants.
So what's the township's expenditure, anticipated expenditure on this, even with the DHA's contribution?
95,000
minus 32? 62. That would be, and then less the 32.
63. 63. 63.
Not that it's apples to apples, but the savings that we're realizing in not paying an additional staff member.
It's painful, you do know that.
Pardon?
I said it's painful, you know. It's doing, I'm doing all that, yes, too.
Oh, no, I know you're working double time, I'm sure, but I'm just trying to understand how much we're going to be investing that's not been budgeted for. And I don't know, maybe Chris, if you have a handle on that in terms of what we're kind of saving, if you will, in salary now. And I know it's your intention to hire somebody, obviously.
I would think at this point to try to keep it as budget neutral as possible, looking at not filling that position at this time would be the better use of the dollars if you're going to move forward with this arrangement with the VA. Sorry, Chuck.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
In all seriousness, it is an unbudgeted project at this point. It's $63,000. We're going to have to come up with some of those costs could be, earmarked out of that salary line item to help cover those costs. Some of it can come out of the general fund balance to deal with the shortfall as well. So, again, this is just it's a policy decision of the board. If you want to expend the dollars to move forward, this is important enough of an item for you. This is your opportunity to make that decision.
I'm really concerned with timing being of the essence on this. We're exposed right now to a lot of projects downtown. I'm nervous about it. That, if we don't maybe get a handle on this now, we might be spending that money on legal fees coming into the future, fighting things that the people in town don't like.
Chris, sorry, what does this do to us budget-wise? And this is completely unbudgeted. We don't take this from what?
Right now, well, I have to figure out what line we'll be drawing against, but, basically the general fund balance would absorb the shortfall. So whatever funds are remaining in the operating general fund balance, it would be less $63,000. So it would stand out in the line item as we go through the 2020 budget process. You'll see where that number is absorbed.
Chuck, you're saying you can't work on this ordinance without an outside consultant. You can't fix the problems. You can't make recommendations.
Not in a timely fashion, Mark.
And I would argue this engagement goes well beyond what Chuck would be doing. Chuck, you need to work on, the ordinance needs to be written, but this has to do with looking at the downtown core overlay district, which used to be two districts, is combined into one, and looking at each and potentially dividing up into four or five districts and very intentionally looking at each one and what type of development product we want to see there so that we're not sitting here exposed waiting for plans to walk in that door and we sit up here and say, well, that's not what we wanted to see, and then we get appeals. So it's yes, they are dollars, they're planning dollars, but planning dollars are important. And they lead to nice places, and they're an investment in the future. And so to look at planning dollars and say, well, we don't have the money right now, sure, we have to, I understand we have a lot of budget constraints right now, we have a lot of things to consider, but not planning properly is very, very expensive in many ways, so.
No, I think it's important that everybody, us and everybody in the audience and the public understands the value of consultants. I mean, you may have been reading about consultants that the township brings on board, and every municipality, every business brings on consultants, and that doesn't mean that that's wasteful. That means that
that consultant or that firm may be augmenting what you have on staff, either because the staff doesn't have the bandwidth or perhaps doesn't have a specific expertise. So consultants, it's not a bad word. It can be a very helpful thing in the community. And I appreciate, Chuck, your honesty and I would expect anything less.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just try to explain your ability to try to navigate this alone. We've really not, as a group, and you know, had the opportunity to have that conversation. So that's very helpful in understanding your bandwidth. Certainly not your lack of expertise in managing this, but your ability to manage it alone at this point is understood. Thank you. Anybody else have any comments? Hearing no more discussion, I will ask if anybody would like to move that the board appoint Urban Design Associates as a consultant to the Township area for the purpose of providing planning, zoning recommendations, and architectural guidance as it relates to the downtown Hershey area for a project cost not to exceed $95,000. Do I need to at all alter this, given the fact we've discussed the Downtown Hershey Association's contract?
I would recommend just condition it upon.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Is it?
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
So I'll amend all that I just said, not to exceed $95,000, based on the condition that the Downtown Hershey Association contributes $32,000 toward the total cost of that project.
I'll make that motion.
Moved by Mr. Weir, seconded by
second.
Mr. Sullivan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
As opposed?
Yeah.
And that motion carries. Thank you. That was a good discussion. Thank you, everyone. Next item on the agenda, discussion and consideration of resolution number 1583 in support of Restore Pennsylvania, a $4.5 billion infrastructure improvement plan. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Lindsay Drew is here this evening. She was kind enough to bring this to our attention, I guess, a week or so ago. And she has a lot of specifics about the project, and it's really a resolution in support of this infrastructure improvement plan to help all of the infrastructure of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and as it relates, I think, to the fracking industry. But I'll defer to Lindsay to give you a little bit of an update.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you for the opportunity to present this to you. I'm just going to hand out a quick sheet. I know that I provided you with a lengthy 9-page document that has been prepared on this, but this is a one sheet document that will help summarize it a little bit more.
Thanks.
I became aware of the Restore Pennsylvania initiative, which is an initiative that Governor Wolf is spearheading, and it would invest $4.5 billion over the next 4 years in significant high-impact infrastructure projects. It's funded by the monetization of a severance tax on fracking or gas drilling, and would invest in various areas across the entire Commonwealth through a competitive bid process. It would do things such as providing high-speed internet access to all communities in Pennsylvania. But specifically for Derry Township, I wanted to seek the support of Derry Township in this. The legislation has not yet been presented. A legislative memo has been sent from the governor's office to the legislative branches, and there is bipartisan sponsorship on both of those. But specifically as it relates to Derry Township, there are several areas that the competitive bids will allow for grants to be requested. Stormwater or storm preparedness and disaster recovery was one that stood out to me with the rain that we've had the last few days. It reinforced it a little bit more as I drove through some parts of the downtown after Friday's quick rainfall, seeing, you know, where different areas were so impacted by water. This would allow for funds to build out stormwater infrastructure management, as well as provide relief to residents and homeowners who experience damage and disaster from flooding that are not covered by FEMA. It also supports initiatives for green infrastructure and funding for hiking, biking, and trail projects, which I know is an initiative that the township has invested a lot of time and effort in to make our community more livable by walking and biking. And also looks at transportation and infrastructure, road projects, and various roadway transportation needs. The resolution I provided gives, you know, kind of a standard overview of the different areas, a little bit more in depth than what I've shared here. But I'm asking Derry Township to join a number of townships across the Commonwealth and various associations regarding municipalities, school districts as well. The Derry Township School District passed a resolution in support of this last night as well. And if anyone has any questions?
So Lindsay, thanks for bringing this to us. Appreciate it. How do these funds flow? So I'm looking at your sheet here. How will they likely flow to projects? Is it likely that they won't go to municipalities? Is that why municipalities are passing these?
Yeah, primarily it'll be municipalities, but other agencies, school districts across the entire state would be eligible to apply for them, primarily given the nature of many of the projects that would be included underneath the scope of it. You know, it would fall into the ask of a municipality.
Yeah. Because a lot of times I think many of us are hesitant to look at resolutions supporting legislation one way or another, whether it's on the national level or state level. This one seems a little bit different because it really could benefit our community.
I agree. I also look at it from the perspective of I believe it's prudent and would it make us good municipal citizens to support an initiative such as this, because obviously we have budget challenges and many things that are coming up, and as we talk about finding money and needing to do that, I think that it positions us well to be able to take a look at any grant dollars that would be available. The generation of these funds is also not something that impacts day-to-day life and residents and businesses, taxpayers of Derry Township. And one of the things, actually, I reached out to the governor's office to ask you a question of is the dissemination of these dollars. So often we see things go to Philadelphia or Pittsburgh in the urban areas, and it does appear to me that there is going to be good plan in place to allow for, you know, these dollars to go to municipalities that need it, and that can justify the request.
If it's helpful too, this is something that that I've been following and having discussions with a couple of different agencies. So in terms of the grant programs, I think that they're very much aware that these funds will be coming, and in one form or fashion is still to be determined. So there could be some that are funneled towards existing SEEP programs that we're currently eligible for, and then there could be other new programs that are created out of the funding. But it would be sort of like what we saw with an Act 13, for example, where we have you know, funds that are going to different programs, if it's for parks or stormwater, kind of under that same umbrella is what's anticipated there.
Lindsay, this is outstanding. I'm glad you brought this. I've been reading about it too. I know a little bit about it. Pennsylvania being the only state that does not levy a severance tax against Marcellus Shale companies, which I think is long, long overdue. My one issue is that since the Republicans control the legislature, what do you think the odds are that this passes? Something like this passes?
I don't think that I'm in a position to speak to that, and certainly not something I'm following as a private citizen, you know, of the Commonwealth. I'm advocating for it, and, you know, here within Derry Township. I think one important component of it is it doesn't have any change to the impact fee, which benefits communities where the natural gas is extracted, so there isn't any lowering of the monies that they receive there in those communities. My understanding, and I don't have the current numbers, is that there is strong bipartisan support for this.
Yeah, I haven't seen the numbers either, but I'd be curious to see what's on the others,
what the other side is thinking.
And I do know it was shared with me that our local state representative has co-sponsored as well.
Tom. I figured he would. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Anyone else have any questions? Hearing none, do I have a motion that the Board of Supervisors adopt Resolution Number 1583 in support of Restore Pennsylvania, a $4.5 billion infrastructure improvement plan?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Zamuda.
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I'll abstain.
And that motion then carries. Next item on the agenda, consideration of third time extension for conditional approval of the preliminary final subdivision plan for Fox Glen Drive, plat number 1268. Chuck?
Thank you. This is simply, as you stated it, a time extension for a previously approved plan. The initial plan was approved in November. On November 22nd of 2016, the board has issued two time extensions. The applicant is processing a revised plan through the township. However, they'd like to keep this plan active until such time as that plan is actually adopted. I've listed under Department of Regulations items A through N that would need to continue to be addressed as part of any approval of this plan. And I am recommending that the board grant an additional year extension subject to those items.
Have any questions for Chuck on this item?
Chuck, are they having any problem with any particular request?
So this old plan, the old plan that's conditionally approved was based on the prior zoning. When the new zoning came into effect, they could put one additional lot on the property. That's the plan that's working through the township now that they're trying to address comments on, but they're trying not to let go of this conditional approval until that plan's approved. I get it. I mean, they've invested money.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, I'll make the motion that the approval of the preliminary final subdivision plan for Fox Glen Drive, plat 1268, is extended for one additional year until May 22nd, 2020, subject to compliance with items A through N under the Department Head Recommendations section of the agenda item. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, award of contract for the milling and paving of University Drive and milling of Manor Drive, Edge Hill Drive, Laurel Ridge Road, Centerview Drive, and Almond Drive. Mr. Park.
Thank you, Madam Chair. During the month of April, we advertised for bids for milling and paving. On May 1st, we opened those bids. There's a bid tabulation sheet attached. We had three bidders, Pensy Supply, New Enterprise Limestone and Kinza Construction. The low bid on that was Pensy Supply. What our intent here is to mill 2 inches off of University Drive and then have Pensy repave that. Because of the volume of traffic on that road throughout the course of the day, our guys are good at paving, but we pave low volume roads. We aren't really set up and used to putting the paper down and going to town, I guess is what I want to say. So we want that done in a timely manner because of where it is. So we're recommending awarding Pensy Supply the milling of University Drive and the paving of it, and as well the milling of Edge Hill, Hill Manor, Laurel Ridge, Centerview, and Almond Drive, and those roads will be paved with township forces. And we're recommending that award to Pensy in the amount of $149,105.10.
Tom, when's that work supposed to start and finish?
Sometime after school. At this point, I'm going to say sometime after school.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Tom? If not, I'm sorry, Matt, did you say something? I'll make the motion to authorize the award for the contract for milling and paving to Pensy Supply in the amount of $149,105.10. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, consideration of releasing the performance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan for East Point Trade Center Building C, plat number 1234. Mr. Emery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In this case, the The prior land development plan, Plat 1234, had a bond posted because it was recorded. The applicant has since revised that plan under Plat 1314 and posted a new bond. This is simply releasing the bond from the prior plan that they've since superseded and abandoned.
Any questions for Chuck on this item? Hearing none, do I have a motion that the board authorizes the release of the performance security in the amount of $888,674 provided in the form of U.S. Specialty Insurance Company bond number 10010840075 for plat number 1234.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Zamuda. I'll second the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries. Next item on the agenda, consideration of acceptance of performance security for the stormwater management plan for Sullivan Residence Property Improvements 2019-006. Chuck.
Thank you again. This is really a housekeeping item. 457 West Reba Avenue, did a stormwater management plan. We're posting security to ensure the proper installation of the facilities. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accept performance security in the amount of $6,705 in the form of cash and enters into the agreement to provide financial security between John M. Sullivan and the Township for the Stormwater Management Plan for the Sullivan Residence Property Improvements Stormwater Plan 2019-06.
Any questions for Chuck? I'll make a motion to approve as stated by Mr. Emmerich. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Next item on the agenda, consideration of the replacement of the performance security instrument provided for the preliminary land, final land development plan for the Milton Hershey School staff homes on Crest Lane, Plat 1266. Back to you.
And thank you. So Plat 1266 depicted the construction of five staff homes. For reasons of their own preference, the Milton Hershey School proposes to replace PNC Bank letter of credit, which will expire on June 17th, 2019, with the Hershey Trust Company letter of credit for the same amount. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accept Hershey Trust Company letter of credit number 2019-02 in the amount of $188,960.64. as performance security for Plat 1266 and authorizes the release of PNC Bank letter of credit in the same amount.
Assuming there are no questions for Chuck on this one, I'll make the motion to approve as stated by Mr. Emmerich. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by everybody. Thank you, Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, reduction of the performance security provided for the preliminary and final subdivision and land development plan for Mescalas Properties, plat number 1269. Chuck.
And here again, HRG has performed an inspection on an existing project that's under construction and has provided a written recommendation with $43,020.12 is eligible for release from their letter of credit. If approved by the board, the new balance would be $69,853.30. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of $43,020.12 from the performance security provided for Plat 1269, resulting in the new balance previously stated.
Assuming there are no questions for Mr. Emmerich, I'll make the motion as stated.
So moved.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries. Item K, authorization for the township manager to execute three grant agreements that were awarded funding through the Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program this summer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Back in August, the board agreed to serve as a co-applicant for several different entities that were requesting funding through the Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program. We're fortunate to receive awards for the Fire Station Debt Reduction Project, the Vista School Safety and Security Improvements Project, that was $30,000, backing up the fire department, received $250,000, and the Senior Citizens Council of Derry Township, also known as People Movers, for a new van in the amount of $30,000. So this agenda is just authorizing Township Manager to execute the grant agreements.
Any questions? I'll make a motion to authorize the manager to execute the grant agreements for the projects that were awarded from Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program, the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company, Vista School, and Senior Citizens Council of Derry Township. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Last item on the agenda, request to conduct a walk celebrating the Feast of Corpus Christi, requested by the St. Joan of Arc Parish on Sunday, June 23rd, 2019, starting at 1 on various township road base.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A letter request was received from the St. Joan of Arc Parish to conduct a walk celebrating the Feast of Corpus Christi. The walk will leave the church at about 1 p.m. on June 23rd. Participants will travel east on Arriba Avenue from the church to Ridge Road, south on Ridge Road to Beach Avenue, west on Beach Avenue to Glen Road, and north on Glen Road to the Grotto at St. Joan of Arc. The anticipated duration of the walk is less than 2 hours. It's been held for numerous years with minimal impact to traffic and township resources. We use on-duty officers and community service officers to affect the traffic control points. Although the walk organizers are aware and have accepted the township's policy on special event reimbursement, should we need to have officers conduct the detail on overtime hours. Like there's usually about a couple hundred people that participate in this walk, so it's necessary to have them walk on the streets and on the sidewalks just to facilitate the ease of movement.
And this, again, is an ongoing request. We've done this for
years.
Any questions for Chief? Hearing none, I'll make the motion that the request to conduct a walk celebrating the Feast of Corpus Christi requested by the St. Joan of Arc Parish on Sunday, June 23rd, starting at 1 p.m. on various township roadways is approved. Have a second. Second by Mr. Zanuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. And then we'll go to board correspondence.
I only have one thing. I would like to thank the Cars for letting me come to their meeting last week. It's amazing the passion that I witnessed there. Congratulate everybody for going there and voicing their concerns. Thank you.
Matt, anything this evening?
Yes, I have several things. First of all, I'd like to thank Boy Scout Troop 65, who spent their Kiss Hershey Back Day doing some maintenance at the buffer in front of the library. They had a master gardener there who was able to identify the plants. They had a lesson in how to maintain the buffer and vision for the buffer in front of the library. So again, thank you to Boy Scout Troop 65. They also planted some trees, by the way. Also, I want to thank Laura for the invitation to the volunteers dinner at the library. It's really great to meet with those people that are so dedicated to making our library such a great institution in this town. Arbor Day celebration, a couple Saturdays ago, we had about 20 volunteers planting some trees in Shank Park that they donated. And we've gotten the Tree City accreditation for the 27th year. So great for that. DTMA, still discussing the GISA, the Guaranteed Energy Savings Agreement for the savings of energy used down at our sewer plant and improvements in efficiency down there. And last but not least, the Climate Action Committee is making a baseline for the township to identify ways to save energy in the township. And that's moving ahead. We have some dedicated people looking at every aspect of the township to see where we could save on our energy. That's it. Thank you.
Matt, just quickly, I want to thank Matt Mandy and his staff at Parks and Rec for what looked to be another successful
fishing derby. We had a great crowd there, and the weather held out too, which is nice. So congratulations, and thank you for doing that every year. And we also had a really great Hershey Albany's diversity session last week. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend because I was on the way to my daughter's college graduation, but I heard it was very successful as people tried to open their minds and learn a little bit more about people on the autism spectrum. And that information is going to be available on the township website and the email newsletter, and as well as recorded, so people can always access those presentations moving forward. And we're going to have many exciting things to announce from that group in the coming weeks. So I look forward to sharing more about that soon.
Thank you.
Do you have anything?
Just one thing. We had a post earlier today. I just would like to read it to make it part of the meeting. This week is National Police Week, and May 15th of each year is Peace Officers Memorial Day, which was designated so in 1962 by President John F. Kennedy. Law enforcement across the country take time this week to remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in the protection of their communities and their country. So far this year, 42 law enforcement officers have been killed in the line of duty in the United States, according to the Officer Death Memorial page. Statistics put the number of law enforcement officers killed in the line of duty in the United States in 2018 at about 144, and another 159 officers died by suicide. While we have seen increases in felonious deaths of police officers in recent months, PTSD and mental health issues of our law enforcement officers continues to be the leading cause of officer deaths. Police officers are exposed to, have to deal with, and try to mitigate some of the worst situations and traumas imaginable. The officers at the Derry Township Police Department appreciate the support we receive from our community, and we are proud to serve as your police department. Please take a moment this week to remember those who have fallen while serving their communities.
Thank you. And thanks to you and your staff for keeping us all safe. Dave, anything from the fire department?
Just a couple updates. 79 calls for the month. All our drivers now have recertified through the emergency vehicle operators course. The entire fire department completed their hazmat operations certificates and or recertifications. NCPR and first aid, and the print approvals for the new apparatus will be flying out to review those next week. So busy month for us.
Thank you. Tom?
We've been involved in a lot of maintenance and repairs to streets now that we can finally get asphalt here within the last 2 weeks. So been getting into a lot of our repairs for this season, as well as facilities maintenance and parks maintenance, getting them ready for the year. I do want to say that while we were sitting here, I received a message from Pensy. Since they lost two nights in paving on Chocolate Avenue, they'll be working daylight tomorrow. So they'll be maintaining two lanes through the downtown, but paving ops will continue through the daytime hours tomorrow in an effort to get it done by the end of the week.
Thanks,
Tom. Tom, I noticed on Langlois Avenue there's a lot of activity at the landfill. How are things going up there with the landfill?
Okay. What did you see? The triaxles going in or something?
Yeah, I saw triaxles going in. Are you getting in the amount of dirt we need?
I'm chasing dirt all over the lower end of the county.
So that's all you're doing right now is collecting dirt?
Correct.
Okay.
Laura? Our circulation desk is almost finished, so we should be back in there next week. So stop by and take a look. And also our book drop will be open again starting next week, and everyone's been very patient, so thank you. That's all.
Cheryl? I have nothing this evening. Thank you.
Sure. Just very briefly, don't have a whole lot to add to Member Court's update on the Community Center project. Just to kind of assure everyone that the project team continues to work on a daily basis on pretty much every aspect of the Community Center project. We've learned some things from contractors that bid on the first go around. Try to incorporate some of those in terms of looking at the project from the bidding and delivery perspective, looking at the project schedule, and anything else that we've heard from contractors to hopefully increase competition as well as reduce contractor liability in terms of backing them into a corner in terms of timeline. So we've been working on a lot of the front end portion of the project. And of course, in addition to that, and probably more importantly, looking at building design. Everything's been on the table, basically looking at every square foot of the facility. Certainly doing whatever we can in reducing square footage where we possibly can. Evaluating concepts that kind of look at the pluses and minuses of one-story versus two-story. What does eliminating the basement do in terms of cost reductions and foundation impacts? So as you can imagine, there's a lot of very detailed areas that the team is really digging into and trying to come up with the best possible scenario. So we hope to have options back to the board here in short time frame so that we can kind of keep things progressing, and certainly we'll be keeping everyone in the loop as we proceed. In other news, Susan, thank you. We did have a great day last Saturday at the park at Bullfrog Valley Pond. We had over 150 kids come to the pond shoulder to shoulder. We had a great day, and I just want to thank Public Works and the police department for all their assistance prior to and during the during the event to make sure that that was a safe event for the kids. And lastly, we're focused on here, our, one of our most important community events of the year is Memorial Day Ceremony and Parade, which is on Memorial Day on the 27th. We are going to be conducting the parade at the Recreation Center. It will start promptly at 10 a.m. And the ceremony will commence right after the parade disbands at the Recreation Center. If you haven't had an opportunity to get to the Recreation Center for the Memorial Day ceremony, I encourage you to come spend an hour with us. It's an amazing tribute for those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. So other than that, we're staying busy and look forward to updating you on the Community Center project.
Kickball,
I saw that too. That
looks
like
kickball.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you catch anything in the
derby?
I wasn't allowed to fish, right?
Over the age of what? 12. Yeah.
I tried.
They kicked you out.
Right?
Kicked
right out.
Thanks, man.
Thank you,
Mr. Banana. Anything you see?
Nothing.
Chuck, anything?
I have two items that are related. So I have a conditional use application in for an outfit called Hershey Hatchets LLC, which is, yes, axe throwing. It's a conditional use to for them to show that they're a use similar to, since we don't necessarily have axe throwing in our zoning ordinance. So that's a hearing that we need to have. And also, we have a second hearing for Keystone Sobo 401k Trust, which is looking at doing an actual legal Airbnb in Scudero Station. I believe the property meets all of the requirements, but it still takes a conditional use hearing in front of the Board of Supervisors. I'd like to schedule both of those hearings. I'm hoping that we can get through each hearing in a half an hour on Tuesday, June 25th, if it fits the board's schedule. Beginning at 6 p.m.
Does that work for everybody?
That should be.
The suspense will kill me to find out what use is most similar to axe throwing.
We don't have to use this meeting.
Can't sit beyond that.
You'll find out on the 25th.
Thank you, Chuck. Lauren, anything else this evening?
Yeah, just a couple of notes. Just want to report that the Downtown Hershey Association hosted our first downtown business meet and greet earlier this month. We held it on a beautiful evening after 2 days of rain, and we were really impressed that 40 of our downtown business partners showed up. So that was great. It was an opportunity to introduce them to the organization, give them an idea of the resources that we have available for them to help promote their businesses through the Downtown Hershey Association, as well as a look at our 2019 Life on Chocolate season. We also had representatives from the Hershey Partnership as the local chamber and Visit Hershey Harrisburg on hand to kind of share what other resources are available. So that was good, and hopefully something that continues kind of in advance of our events each year. Also, this weekend is the kickoff to our 2019 Life on Chocolate event season. We have our Art Show and Culture Fest presented by Bryn Mawr Trust. Very much looking forward to that this Saturday, May 18th from 10 to 5. We are still looking for volunteers. Information on how to volunteer is available anywhere you look for it. Facebook, website, the Rapper newsletter. It's also been in the e-news, so please come out, give an hour, stay for the rest of the day, and enjoy yourself. We have a lot of great artists and vendors coming, as well as food and beverage opportunities, some beer and wine, live entertainment, and of course children's activities. So something for everyone. Looking forward to that. So thanks.
And the weather looks dry.
Fingers crossed.
Jill, anything?
I have nothing, thank you.
Chris, anything?
Nothing further this evening, thank you.
Now we'll move on to the approval of accounts payable, the amount of $604,703.90, and payroll $367,209.04. Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that brings us to our final session of visitor and public comment. Again, please remember to keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. Approach the microphone and state your name and your address.
My name is Skip Becker. I live at 79 Almond Drive. Excuse me. The election is Tuesday. And from that election, there will be four candidates running in the November general election. I would strongly recommend that the board seriously consider bringing the four of us into the planning procedure for the rec center so that we, when one or two of us, well, two of us sit down on these chairs, we will be informed. We will know a little bit more about what's going on. We may only be seated at the back, unvoting members. Particulars at this point aren't so necessary as it would be to consider the fact that this is a huge project, and I, for one, if am fortunate to be able to sit in one of those seats, would like to know a little bit more about it than nothing, or rumor, or what I read in the newspaper. So, as you go forward and the election happens, please consider inviting the four of us to join your committee in consideration for what happens next.
Dave Weaver, 214 Java. Two points. First question is a question maybe for Mr. Emmerich or Mr. Yost. Related to the hiring of the consultant, does the board or any other township authority have the authority to place a moratorium on development?
I would say no.
A motion can't.
You can pass legislation to do certain things, but things that are already in process are going to remain in process.
Okay, so for future submission, I mean, you said you're getting bombarded with.
If we adopt certain things that.
So can you could say beyond this date, we're not reviewing any submissions until such and such.
There's a process that they go through, and you can't just block it off and wait a year or 2 years before you come up with some reasons for going.
And, you know, quite frankly, Dave, that's counter to really what we're trying to do, which is be vibrant and embrace.
Well, I understand that, but if
we're just trying to be cautious and thoughtful. And
if you don't have the resources, which we don't, you don't have the personnel, we don't have the money,
Yes. It would lead to lawsuits, okay. Pretty
so,
sure.
The second point relates as a follow-up to some of Linda's questions about the phase two or consideration part two of the community center. I don't know much about it, but the little bit I have heard is that the priorities or the things that seem to be being addressed as being cut are all the things that are community related, not that 50-meter pool. And it is beyond me what is so sacred about that 50-meter pool. My recollection is in the financial pictures of expenditures from before was that added $5 million or more to the project cost. I mean, right there you have a 15% cut. Right there. It's not the community. It's not part of the community center. It's part of it. Project that a certain segment of the community wants. But it seems to me that that has to be a component that's addressed when you're considering that.
So, Dave, I don't know if Susan said it at the beginning, but everything's on the table.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is being looked at.
I heard.
Yeah.
I heard that said.
Yeah.
And I was going to say it again, but thank you. And I would offer too, and I think not everybody would agree with this statement, but everything in the community center is for the community, and we're being very careful in what we're looking at as we move forward. And I think there are a lot of people who might make the assumption that that 50-meter pool is just for a small segment of people and just for, you know, people in the aquatics club, and it's not. I mean, that big body of water was intended to be used across our community in many, many ways. And whether or not we move forward with that or move forward with other things that were the original design still remains to be seen, but it was never the intention that anything in that community center, 50-meter pool included, was ever just for one group. That water was to be split and used in many different ways for Special Olympics and synchronized swimming and for exercise classes. So it was to give more water to the community. So I just wanted to make sure you understood that. Not everyone would agree with that statement, I'm sure, but that water really is intended for the community.
Okay.
Thanks. Anyone else?
Yes, please. I'm Jonathan Christ. I'm 226 West Chocolate. It's my office. I'm here on behalf of my clients, our Braceland Services and AIS, in conjunction with the proposed hotel next to their property at 546 West Chocolate. I would like to pass out some documents for everybody it would help my presentation.
Mr. Chris, just to remind you that you have 3 minutes.
Does the pass out time count towards the 3 minutes?
You know. I believe we've already seen what you're giving us, so.
I'm not sure you have.
Yes, all we have.
I have.
We all have.
Yeah. I attempted to file with the Dauphin County Court a petition to allow my clients to participate in the two appeals that have been filed by the Bears Creek people. The Bears Creek people are being represented by Attorney David Getz and Jeffrey Clark, and PJL is being represented by Rod Lucas and Mark Bradshaw, all of which came at me hard at the hearings. I was really surprised. I'm just a small little country practitioner, and I had four lawyers on the other side doing what they could to keep me out of this, and they succeeded in getting this granted by the court. Under court rules, I have 30 days to appeal this to the Superior Court of Pennsylvania. While theoretically I can do it, my clients, A, can't afford it, and B, there's probably no chance that it will be overturned by the court. We are out of this, unfortunately. And I do say unfortunately because you have to understand what's going on there. And I have attached the relevant portions of what Mr. Getz has filed, which is a challenge to Chapter 89 of your ordinances. And just so you understand the timeline of where this is at, now that I'm out of this and this periphery matter has been taken care of, this will be ruled upon by the court quite quickly. This is not an issue that requires testimony on either side. It's a legal issue. It'll be decided probably by the end of August. And there is a serious question of whether or not your Act 89 will succeed or continue. If it is struck down by the court, it's going to be a free-for-all for demolition on Chocolate Avenue. Having said that, I am particularly concerned by the fact that Mr. Getz, who has filed this on behalf of Braylage Creek, is also doing business with the township. And I have included a copy of a deed of consolidation he did for the pool. Now, I'm not sure whether this deed was prepared before or after he filed the appeal. If he's prepared before the appeal and just didn't get recorded until afterwards, that's even worse than having him being employed. But he has taken a position against his own client, which is the township.
Mr. Chris, I'm sorry. I just want to let you know you're at 3 minutes. If you could please kindly wrap up, we'd appreciate it.
I am asking this board to do three things. One, to terminate any contracts it has with Wixweiler or Widener. Two, to direct your attorney, Mr. Stinnett, to file a motion with the Dauphin County Court striking the ability of Mr. Getz to represent the Bear Creek people on the grounds of conflict of interest with the township, and C, have the township cancel its contract with Stevens and Lee because they are also opposing the township.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chris. Anyone else have any final comments this evening? Hearing none, I will make a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second? Second, Mr. Boyer. Thank you all for coming this evening.